Okay, welcome everybody to Planning Commission. Thanks for popping in for that. I felt like you should wave when you went past, Brittany. Tracy, would you be willing to say the opening prayer for us, please? Followed by the Pledge of Allegiance by Audrey.
Our Father in Heaven, we are grateful for this opportunity to meet together as members of the Planning Commission and representing the citizens of Highland. We're grateful for this opportunity to serve, grateful for this wonderful community that we live in and the good people who live here. We're grateful for those who lead us and selflessly give their time. We ask that we bless tonight that we will consider matters in a thoughtful way and with the best interests of all our citizens in mind. And we say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. The first item would be any unscheduled public appearances. Okay, going once, going twice. Thank you very much. We'll close now for consent items 2A. Would anybody like to make a motion or make comments about the meeting minutes from the 28th of October?
Motion to approve the minutes of October 28th, 2025.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, so we have...
Yes.
Wonderful. Deborah, go ahead. Yes. Wes?
Yes.
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 Okay. Dispatched in short order. The first item would be pre-con meetings and requirements. This is a legislative item. Rob, if you could breeze through this with alacrity, we would be most pleased.
I will do my best. In short, we hold pre-construction meetings after approval of site plans and subdivisions. There's some requirements that we walk through. It just isn't spelled out in our code. So we haven't had a developer say, you can't make us do this, but I would like to not have that fight. So now we're just going to set up the clear process of, once you get your approvals of subdivisions or site plans, here's the next step, and then you can start your building. So it's adding a new section into the city's code that just kind of generally applies throughout the code. It requires a pre-construction meeting after the site plan subdivision approval before work. They bring paper copies in. We stamp them as the approved for construction. They have to have those copies on site, so we know they're actually building to what the approved plans are. They're supposed to bring their engineer, their contractor, so they coordinate with... It's a meeting held with the developer, contractor, engineer, and public works, who are going to be the guys that are going to go inspect everything. So it lets them get to know each other a little bit. They can walk through. Here's how you schedule inspections. Here are some things to be aware of building in Highland City to try to avoid some common problems they see. And then after the pre-construction meeting or at the pre-construction meeting, we ask them to pay their construction and SWIP inspection fees. So they pay for us to go and inspect their improvements, and they pay for our stormwater guy to make sure they're complying with SWIP, stormwater pollution prevention is what that stands for. Sorry, it's just we always just say SWIP, and I forget what it actually means. It means you can't run mud into the streets, you can't put stuff into our storm drains, so we inspect for that as well. They will sometimes provide assurances and assurance estimates. We'll talk a lot more about that in the next one. There's a public improvement agreement where they just say, we'll build to the plans that we've approved, and then they'll also, before disturbing land, get their SWIP, their UPDES permit. So those are all the requirements. We're just trying to spell them out in code. It's ever since we've been developing, we've been doing these things. It's just making sure there's no question about it. So that's the end of my presentation. We had no comments received from the public after publishing notice, and I'd be happy to answer any questions. This is a public hearing as well.
Okay, super. Why don't we open this for public hearing? Please don't all rush to the podium at once. Okay, I think we can conclude the public hearing. And now, commissioners, does anybody have any comments? I mean, my summary of this would be, it's really just writing down something we've been doing, but it's just never been written down before.
Exactly.
Okay. Any questions?
Rob, are these pre-construction meetings the one that sometimes we come to as kind of like the approval body? Is that something different?
That's something different. That's the DAB, the Development Administration Board. Though at a couple of our minor subdivisions, we've held a pre-construction meeting immediately afterward because they were really trying to get done. So you might have seen, I think at the last two were minor, there are lot splits.
Yeah.
And basically they had all their stuff and all the public works guys marched in at the end because they were trying to go get their road cuts done before our asphalt paving deadline.
That's right.
So we aren't part of that. In fact, it's my favorite part is we get to the site plan or subdivision approval, then I get to hand it off to public works and say, it's your job now.
I think you did a good job. Thank you.
Yes. I think I like
makes
it
sense.
Because I like it because it just saves questions and also presents it so they can look at it and see, okay, I have to do this, this, or whatever. So I move, if no one's, is everybody ready? I move that the Planning Commission recommend approval of the proposed amendment related to pre-construction requirements.
I second it.
Okay.
Yes.
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 All right. You know, they say to make something eternal, there's no need to make it everlasting. We're on a good roll here. Rob, would you like to go ahead with assurance, both performance and warranty?
Yes. So we mentioned this a little bit earlier, and we've talked about this on various occasions at the Planning Commission. We require certain assurances in connection with development. Much of it's regulated by state law, but there's some areas that we need to address. And we wanted to add some clarification just to avoid some conflicts and make sure that the developers can get to developing faster. I'm just going to start with an example. So we have the Highland Acres subdivision. It's not a real subdivision. They're doing, you know, your standard improvements. They've got road, utilities, some public landscaping. We'll say the total is $1 million. That's the cost of all of those public improvements. They have their final plat and development plans approved. They've gone to Planning Commission. They've gone to the DAB. They're ready to build. They've held their pre-con. The question comes up, the developer wants to sell lots. That's their whole goal. We want to not let them sell lots because we want to make sure the public improvements get done. And so there's that little bit of a stalemate. The assurances are how we resolve that. So there's kind of two and a half options for developers. First one is they build everything first. So they go through, they install that $1 million of landscaping and utilities and roads. We go and inspect it, we accept it, and then we say, great, you're done. You provide us a warranty that's 10%, so $100,000. And that just means that for at least 1 year after we've accepted it, it'll stay in good condition. And then after that point, we will record the plat and they can then sell their lots. The land is then subdivided. However, some developers can't afford, I mean, it's very expensive to put that in, so they want to be selling lots while putting in the improvements so they get revenue in to offset the improvement costs. So this is the more common approach. We use the term bonding often for this. There's a type of assurance that's called a surety bond that we don't accept, but everyone just generally calls this bonding. So if I say we take a bond, just know I'm referring to the general sense of they are giving some kind of monetary assurance to guarantee things. So in this scenario, rather than them building that $1 million, they say, I promise I will install all of that in the future, and here is money to guarantee it. So they will give 1.1, in our example, 1.1 million to the city. It'll either be cash or a letter of credit. That is 100% of the cost of all of the improvements, plus a 10% cost for administration. So once we get that performance guarantee, we then record the plat, they can sell the lots, and then they start working on the public improvements. If they ever fail, if they just abandon a project and walk away, the city can then use that money to complete the improvements. We've never had to do that. It's not a fun process. The city is not as good at developing as developers are. It's mostly get used as leverage to say, developer, we're still holding your money, go finish the thing so we can give this back to you. Once the developer does finish all their improvements, we inspect, we accept. If it's all good, we hand them the money back, say you're fine, and then at that point we'll take the warranty, same 10%, so $100,000. So from date of completion, they have 1 year that stays in good condition, and then they get all their money back and they're done.
So you're saying that usually a developer doesn't have that kind of, sometimes a developer doesn't have that kind of money to do it up front. And so you're saying then they give the city this assurance or letter of credit, but if they don't have the money to begin with, how are they going to give that to us?
Like, so the cash, the letter of credit option, you can have a relationship with a financial institution. Well, they will charge a developer a certain amount of money, but not the full amount, to issue a letter of credit based on their history with that financial institution. And sometimes it's not a matter of money, it's a matter of timing.
Yeah, they want to sell.
They
can't.
They want to sell now. Say they got their plat approved end of fall. They can't build a road until spring. But they don't want to just sit on bare ground for, you know, all of winter. So let's just get the plat done. We can start marketing, selling these things. And then as soon as spring hits, we're going to build everything as quickly as possible.
And what is our recourse if they don't?
That money, that $1.1 million becomes the city's.
We can go self-performing.
And that money will be there?
Yes.
That the bank will assure that it's there?
The money plus 10%.
It's the money plus 10% because it always costs us more to do something. So that's what the 10% covers. And the money is either literally a cash deposit. So it's either cash deposit with us or another bank, or it's a letter of credit, which is the next best thing to cash, which is literally, it's a 1 or 2 page letter that says, from some financial institution that says, we guarantee we have this amount of money. If you present this to us and certify that they failed to complete things, we will hand you this money within 30 days. We've never had to do it. We don't want to do it. It costs everyone a lot of time and effort. It's just a recourse.
So this is pretty common.
Very common.
And you can't get a public report unless you have either put the roads in or have the assurance. And it is. You want to sell something early so you get the stress off of you that you're going to sell. But the question I have, if it's $10 million and I put up 10 plus 10% million, $11 million, and I put in $3 million of the improvements, am I able to draw down that cash?
What a great segue.
Next topic.
So, two ways of drawing down. One is, if you bond it up front under option 2, we do allow partial releases. So we reduce the amount we're holding based on how much of the work is completed. Because we don't need to hold 100% if they've done, you know, 75% of the work. We hold a certain amount. The other option is, say they got approved in summer, they started doing all their improvements. They got utilities in, but they didn't get to the asphalt in time, so they can't build the road yet. So we say, okay, you've got about half your improvements done. And they say, can we now sell our lots? We can do a bond for half of the improvements. So if they did half the improvements, we'll take money for the other half. So in this case, under our example, it would be $600,000. So it'd be 100% of the costs of all remaining improvements, which in this case would be $500,000, plus 10% of the total cost again. In this case, they've done some of it, we've inspected and accepted it, while taking a bond for the rest of it, and then they sell their lots. This is, I think, probably the most common thing we have happen in Highland, is people will start doing a lot of work, often they'll get their utilities in, say, great, we now know these lots can be served, we're gonna work on our roads. Usually it's a timing thing, the weather didn't permit it. So they say, let's record and sell lots, and we'll get the road done later. So in this case, the problem we have had with this, though, recently with staff is it's pretty easy to get an estimate from the developer of all of their costs. It's harder to get a new estimate of what is left. Often they'll just kind of say, yeah, we did half of it, and then leave it to us to figure out what that means. And so a lot of these code changes are just, we want to clarify this process so they know what to give us, so we can tell them how much to give us, and they can go record. So this is the main point of this amendment, is clarifying the information that they have to submit to us. So how they estimate costs is one of two ways, either an engineer's estimate, a civil engineer who looks at it and they give an engineer's estimate of costs, or they have their contractor who's actually doing it give us their bid. We're now clarifying they have to break down those estimates and costs by infrastructure improvement category, materials, quantities, and costs. So they'll give us one that says, say, for example, culinary water. And it'll have all of their facilities, the things related to culinary water. So it'll be, you know, 8-inch ductile iron pipe, 1,000 linear feet, $40 per linear foot. So our total cost for that is $40,000. So they'll break it down by every improvement and how much is required for their development. And so we're asking for one estimate or bid for everything. And then if they do some of the work, either give us a new estimate or bid or have their engineer or contractor essentially restamp it saying, we've done all this, this is what we're saying is left to do. And we're hoping that by putting this kind of requirement out there, it'll be clear so they can work and then know exactly how to get into bonding and recording.
And is staff able to disagree with the total?
Yes. We don't ask for, like, mathematical precision. We're not out there double-checking every number, but our engineers also kind of know what the cost. They say, we can do, you know, 1,000 linear feet of ductile iron pipe for about $100. We'll say, no, you can't. Or go buy us a lot of that, because we would love to know what deal you found.
Okay.
So we can reject it, and we have done it where it's like, you said you have no manholes. We know you have 7. Go add that to your bid and get it back to us.
Okay.
But if they say, you know, we know it's between $20 and $50, and they show something that's like $35, great, we're not going to question that.
Right.
And then the rest of the red ink you saw throughout that was just a lot of cleanup, because as I was going through it, I realized we said the same thing like 3 or 4 times in different ways. So I was trying to scrap out as much redundant language and just have one general section for here's the type and amount of bond, here's how you do it, and then here's specific things for subdivisions and contractors, and kind of clean that up. I also added that these assurances can be used to clear liens and encumbrances, so you can have a contractor's or mechanic's lien on property if they didn't pay their sub for work they did. So we can use those assurances if we have to clear those liens off so the city can take the public property free and clear. And then I also referenced the pre-construction meeting, so that's part of this. So with that, that's the end of my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions. Again, we posted notice, no comments, and we recommend a public hearing and approval.
Okay, let's open it up for public hearing first. And if there are no takers, we'll conclude the public hearing. Commissioners, do you have any questions?
I just had one. So on the subcontractor thing, so if the developer does not pay their subcontractors, what happened?
So the subs, when you do a construction project, you can put a lien on saying that basically if I don't get paid for my work, I can claim this property.
Right.
That's why we would, if they haven't recorded, the city doesn't own anything and doesn't cause us any heartache because we won't take ownership of it until they actually do all the work and clear it off. If they have recorded the plat, we own the street, they've dedicated it to us. They've also given us money. So if they don't clear the lien off, we'll say, fine, we will clear it off ourselves, and it's going to still cost the developer. I haven't really had that happen in the developer, because developers usually have a general contractor who's required to have a payment bond that guarantees payment to their subs. We've had a few times where we've had to bring in a general and a sub, and for city projects where we've had to hand a check to the general and watch them hand a check to the sub, but that's pretty rare.
Okay. Any other questions?
Rob, what happens if this 1 million ends up being drastically over or under? How does that affect this, or does it?
Not really. I mean, if it's drastically over, then the developer had a bad estimate or bid and we have excess money.
Mm-hmm.
If it's drastically under, hopefully our engineers catch it, because we do have our engineers review all of those, so there's nothing drastically off. I will say, if we ever had to collect one of these, it's more than likely we won't be able to finish out all the improvements. It always costs the city more to do things than developers. But I've had to do it like 2 or 3 times in my career, and we've always had enough money to get the like life safety things done. Like, we could finish the road, we could finish the utilities, even if we couldn't get, you know, the street lights installed or all the conduits for electrical in, we could make it so it was livable for some of it. And so we've never had a problem where we haven't had enough to, at the very least, do that. And I've never had that problem with Highland at all.
Any other comments? All right, would someone like to make a motion?
Okay. I move that the Planning Commission recommend approval of the proposed amendments related to development assurances.
I second the motion.
Okay, seconded by Tracy.
Yeah.
Should we have a roll call?
Yes, yes.
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 One last question.
Oh,
sorry about that.
No problem.
So so you gave us 3 scenarios there, so the developer can pick which scenario. We're not picking tonight which one we want to do. That's open for them to decide.
They have the option, whatever works best for their development.
Okay. Yes.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And Sherry, if I may, just to comment, even though we've all agreed to this, There are tons of other scenarios where, like Rob alluded to, the developer skips town or there's some lawsuit or disaster. But I think this covers all bases from at least a citizen's point of view. All right, now let's move on to just discussion items.
If I may.
Go ahead, you may.
Just giving you a heads up, I've calendared out my entire year of code changes I want to bring to you. So I wanted to outline those to give you a heads up. And then also, we did adopt a general plan, and I want to get your feedback on what are your goals for the year so that we can incorporate those as, you know, we begin preparing agendas and getting those out to you. So the things I'm planning on bringing to the commission, these are some things that either the commission directed, council directed, or staff looked at it and thought there were some problems. So these are our home occupation and ordinance is just kind of out of date. I just want to do some cleanup there. Our sign code is very inconsistent between all of our zones, and it's restricting some businesses more than I think it really should be, unfairly. Parking standards, every zone is a little bit different, and we don't really address like drive-throughs versus restaurants, which we saw with the Mobettas. So I'd like to clarify that so we have some better language there and make it kind of standard throughout the city. I talked about this a while ago, but a consolidated land use table, so we don't have 8 zones with slightly different uses in all of them. We can say, here's every use in the city and here's the zone, so everyone can find it much easier.
It would be a map format?
It would just be a table, but we'd be able to say each zone, you know, CR zone gets this, the PL zone gets this, and everyone can see at a glance what is allowed and what's not. And we don't have weird language like one place allows doctors, the other one says medical, and are those the same things? It's like, yes. So we'll clean up some of those things. The other thing I'd like to do is bring up a site plan process. Every one of our commercial zones has a different site plan process. I'd rather make it like subdivisions where we have a subdivision process and it just applies to all subdivisions in the city. So I'd like to do that for site plans as well. Some minor things, site triangles. We just have 3 different standards I found in the code. There will be a bunch of new state laws, and I have a section. We're going to have legislative updates at the end of these, just so we try to keep you abreast of the pending fun that we'll get from the state legislature this legislative session. And then there are several development applications we already know are coming. We have mostly a lot of commercial coming in. The 10700 commercial pads are being developed. Highland Mains has a large office that's proposing to come in. There's a church and another flex office space on Highland Boulevard in the PO zone. So they're not ready to be presented, but people are still building in Highland. So those are kind of staff's projects. With the general plan, there's a lot of goals. Some of them were kind of soft goals. Some of them were harder goals, meaning we had timelines specific with moderate income housing. We have detached ADUs. And senior housing zone, or kind of the 2 goals for moderate income housing to look at this year. And then we have other general goals. So with that, you've seen staff's goals. What would you like to get done this year? And I know we have a detached ADU kind of quasi-draft. How do we finish that up, get it done? What would you like to do here?
Thanks, Rob. So the purpose, object of the exercise now is just for us. And if we're not prepared to, I mean, this is a living thing, but can you individually think of things that we can do as a planning commission to proactively say, I have a bee in my bonnet about a specific thing, and that we can work on it as a planning commission? Kind of like we did a couple of years ago with the ADUs, where we've built the straw